I just had a message that Senior Senator Ted Stevens is here. Ted here? Senator Stevens, you have the floor.
I'm delighted to hear that you voted to approve the bill that you have all worked on so long, and that the President has responded to your vote by signing the bill quickly so that it can now become the Native Land Claim Settlement Act, as we intend it to be. I know that we will see a great deal of all of you in the future. As I think Don has pointed out to you, the process has just begun. There is going to be an annual battle, I'm sure you realize, to make certain that we keep the appropriations on schedule as we're committed in this bill. It requires an annual appropriation bill every year to keep the commitment that Congress has made in this bill, and I feel confident that it will appropriate the monies as specified in this act that the President has now signed. I'm hopeful that all of you realize the very somber duty that you have, not only to those people who are the older people who have been involved in seeking a resolution of these claims for so many years, but also those generations that will come after you, who will look to you to find out what you did as far as your stewardship of the assets that have now been confirmed as the property of the Alaska Native people. It is not a simple task, and it is not one that is going to resolve into a workable program overnight. It's going to take the dedication and the leadership of every one of you working for your villages, for the village corporations, for the regional corporations, and to carry out the plan that has been approved by Congress. I would point out to you that it's a very historic thing, because in recent history there has not been a settlement of this type that did not involve the submission of a plan in advance to Congress or to the Secretary of Interior as to what would happen to the assets that were in fact confirmed to the group involved. I'm sure you'll recall that this was the situation with regard to the Tlingit and Haida settlement, and we have had hearings just this year on several other settlements that have been based on judicial decree. This is a historic situation because the Congress saw fit to answer your request for legislation to settle these series of claims and to confirm to you the title to land that your forefathers have claimed, and rightly so. I'm sure you realize that that has been my position for many years. But the village corporations will be subject to review by the regional corporations, not only on their budgets for 5 years, but also in terms of plans, as specified in the bill, on an annual basis. And for the first time that I know of, a settlement of this type, the BIA will not be involved in the review of what you plan to do with your land or your money. It is a most unique situation, and I might say to you that you carry, as I said, not only the burden for those who will come after you, the future generations of Alaska Natives, but you will carry the burden for those other Indian groups in the South 48 who still await a complete settlement of their claims through the Indian Claims Commission. And they also will now seek, I'm certain, the approval of Congress for self-determination and for the right to manage their own affairs without the strings of the Bureau of Indian Affairs in terms of the settlements that they receive. And I would again urge you to consider this very grave responsibility, because the eyes of the whole nation will be on you as you do in fact acquire substantial assets in your own right and as you manage your own affairs. We will be most interested to work with you. I'm certain that you know that. There have been some comments made, and I'm one who believes that the only way to address questions that have been raised is to shoot straight from the shoulder. There are things in this bill which I'm certain that some of you will not like. Some of them I put there, and I'll tell you that very frankly. It is my opinion that the collisions that might occur in the future between the native and non-native groups of Alaskans should be, to the extent we can possibly do it, avoided. And we have sought to avoid those by trying to assure the rights of those who were legally on land in Alaska before this act passed, that they may go ahead under the public land laws and secure the rights that they thought they would have by virtue of their compliance with the federal land laws. We have also written into this act a minimum per capita payment of 10% of the monies received by the regional corporations on an annual basis, and I've had many people complain about that. It's been my feeling as I've gone through the villages of this state that there are many people in the older generations who will not be benefited by scholarship programs. They'll not be benefited by housing programs. They'll not be benefited by the training programs that will come. They'll not be benefited by the economic development programs that will come along. And that 10% per capita payment was put in this bill to assure those in the older generations that they will see some portion of this settlement in their own hands before they leave this world. And I would defend that against anyone's argument. Of course, I must be very frank with you. Nothing could have been put in that bill without the approval of the conference committee, without the approval of people from other states. There are things in this bill that I don't like. I don't like the 80 million acre provision, for instance. But it was something that had to be done in order to achieve a settlement and to achieve a just settlement when it was needed. And I believe it is needed now. The time for this settlement was yesterday, not today. But whether there will be tomorrow for the Alaska Natives is now in your hands. As Don Wright has said, we have indicated to him that we know there will be technicalities that arise. There were, in the case of the Alaska Statehood Bill, after it passed, we had what we called the Omnibus Bill to try and fill in the gaps of the Statehood Bill that the Congress, even after its long years of deliberations on the Alaska Statehood Bill, did not consider. And you will have those, and I'm sure that you will have recommendations to us in the next session of this Congress and in succeeding Congresses. But again, to you, I can tell you this. It's, to me, the settlement of these claims has long been a matter of simple justice. But believe me, the matter that has been accomplished is a matter of almost a miracle when you think about the fact that we are a small state, we Alaskans. We're a small population, and we have achieved something. And I say we, it includes you and all Alaskans, we have achieved something that no other state has ever achieved, and that is we've had a legislative resolution of claims that needed resolution at a time when the economics were right. This land settlement of yours, confirming your title to the areas around the villages and establishing the regional corporations with the management of not only land, but of the subsurface values, is an absolute precedent. There is nothing like it in the history of the United States, and it might interest you to know in the history of the world. Only last week, I visited with the Solicitor General of Australia, who was sent to Washington to talk to us concerning the precedent value of this settlement in terms of dealing with the rights of the people who are known as the Aboriginal people of Australia, people around the world in Canada and Australia and other areas where there are just and legal and moral claims that must be resolved, are not only going to look to the act that Congress passed, but again, they're going to look to what you do. And they're not going to follow the pattern that we followed, if it doesn't, if the development, if the land base and the capital base, the self-determination does not follow through as we believe it should. And I know that you believe it should. Again, let me close by telling you that I'm pleased that you have agreed to the bill. I would understand anyone that says he does not like it entirely, because I repeat that I don't like it entirely. But I think it's a fair, a just, and a reasonable bill in view of the complex issues that are involved, in view of the great interest of the citizens of the other states of this union, in what happens to the land that has, in their opinion, great value for future federal programs in this state. And I think that we will go ahead in this state with a partnership between the native people and the non-native people that will rival any relationship that exists between the populations, the citizenry of any other state in the union. I say to you, God guide you and God bless you, and please remember those that will come after you and those that came before you in terms of what you do with the assets that have been confirmed and are now in the names of the Alaska Native people as a whole. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. At this point in the on the agenda is the introduction of the BLM representatives to explain land selection. Mr. Neil Bassett, representing the Bureau of Land Management.
My name is Neil Bassett. I'm the acting chief of the Division of Resources in the BLM office here in Anchorage. When I'm not acting, I'm the state land specialist. BLM is going to have a very big role in implementing this bill. I know that a lot of you folks would like to know how we're going to accomplish some of these things, how long it's going to take. And in all honesty, I have to say so do we. You must recognize, of course, that as you look at a bill that says the secretary will do this and the secretary will do that, it implies work on the part of many agencies and many people. In order for everybody to go in the same direction, of course, there has to be regulations, guidelines set out. Over a period of time, there must be legal interpretations of what Congress actually meant by certain words. And of course, all of this takes time. But our biggest, our top priority here from BLM standpoint in Alaska is to work with the individual natives and the communities in implementing this bill as fast as we can and to the best of our ability. Over a period of time, of course, the government has learned through bitter experience, court cases, legal interpretations, that there are certain things that must be done in order to confirm title, to make sure that you get a confirmed title that is good from now on. And that requires that certain procedures be implemented. One of these, of course, is, as the bill states, determining valid existing rights. Probably two of the best examples will be native allotments in and around the villages, which have not yet gone to patent, and mining claims. It will be up to BLM to determine where these are and what they are, and of course the lands that are presently under mining claims would not be available. Some of this material is on our public land records, some of it is not. For example, the mining claimants are not required to record their claims with BLM. It may mean that we will have to go out on the ground and find those and identify them, and that will take time. Certain basic things must be done regardless of how we interpret this bill. There are definite things that BLM must do as we proceed through the various aspects of the bill. Now that it has been signed, it will be up to our land office to note on the records those areas that are withdrawn until the selections are made. This will probably start Monday morning. There will be the regulations to prepare, the policy decisions to make, the legal interpretations to make. As I said earlier, it will be necessary that we identify valid existing rights. What form this will take, I don't know at this time. Our Washington office began working on this bill and on the procedures, particularly as they affect BLM, the day that the bill was passed, and we have been in telephone contact with them quite frequently, raising questions, asking that certain things be considered based on our knowledge of the Native people, the Alaska conditions, and our own problems as a bureau. And we had agreed with BIA that there would be an informational program. And this, from discussions with AFN members last week, I understand will supplement or complement what you have already tried to do in getting the word out to the villages as to the provisions of this bill. BIA would assume the leadership on this information program, but BLM would provide as much information to that as we could. It was anticipated that there would be traveling teams, very possibly, to go to the villages to help explain the provisions of the bill. BLM would be a part of that traveling team.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mr. Burbidge, come forward.
I think basically, as a personal opinion and observation to all of you who are here, we've gone past the point now where we hear some pronouncements, and I know these are sincerely extended, and I look forward very much to working with BLM and with BIA. But once they have made statements to us as to what shall happen, they must then remain to hear from someone as to what our reaction is. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is now a partnership relationship. We want to keep that in mind, that the agencies have a great deal to learn about what our feelings are and what some of the concerns we have are. It's obvious, and this has been sincerely indicated and in a helpful manner, that BLM is not presently geared up to handle the expectations. They are preparing for this. They've made some definite steps to do this. And we know that if they do not perform, we don't receive land. This is a key provision, obviously. We know that BLM will need a supplemental. There's a question of when this will be sought and as of what date. We know that we need to be aware of how they are going to decide how much of a supplemental, how much additional manpower, and how these demands are going. You, after all, are working here in Alaska, and your success or your failure in achieving compliance with your request is going to affect us gravely, so that whatever success or non-success you have, quite frankly, is our business. Furthermore, there is an absolute necessity, and I commend you for this, for stating that one must work very closely with the Native peoples, so that what was previously the internal business of BLM is now the business of the Alaska Natives, right down to a T. We know further that policy decisions and administrative decisions can affect the implementation of this act. It can affect the substantive rights that we are going to receive. It is well known that federal agencies, and this is no fault of your own, it is the nature of the animal, that many of these decisions that are made can affect our substantive rights, and we know that many administrative decisions are reached internally. That too is the nature of the animal. We know that interpretation can hurt us. How many times have we here experienced hearing about a solicitor's opinion which was unfriendly, or which raised the question concerning which matter we thought there had been a very clear indication of what would be coming about. So we have to be aware of the solicitor's role in all of this as well. All I want to do, Mr. Chairman, is to make the point that every official, every agency representative realize and hear it directly from the Native people. We have forever passed the point again of hearing what is going to happen. We are going to hear what is going to be done in a partnership relationship with the United with the natives of the state of Alaska. And I might add that from here on out, we don't need any baloney about secret meetings to decide what is best for the natives. That baloney is gone, it is done for, it is past.
Mr. Morris Thompson, Area Director of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Maury.
Mr. President, delegates, I'm here very briefly to bring you up to date, hopefully, or reacquaint you, I should say, not bring you up to date, but reacquaint you with some of the things the Bureau of Indian Affairs was charged by Congress to perform in the now the post-settlement era of the Alaska Native Claims. The primary responsibility that we have and we were charged by Congress with is conducting the role. You might start with the question, what is a role and why a role? The purpose of a role is to identify people eligible for the benefits under the Alaska Native Claims. We'll be conducting the role statewide, nationwide, and in fact worldwide, wherever there are Alaska Natives eligible for benefits under the bill. We're charged with the responsibility now by Congress of hunting them down, making sure that they're aware of the benefits, making sure that they are enrolled if they're entitled to be enrolled. This program we're hoping to kick off right away. I've sent out to every regional Native organization a supplemental appropriation that I prepared last October based on some preliminary predictions at that time that the Bureau of Indian Affairs may be involved in the role. I may go back to the background a bit of the various bills. The House bill, when it was prior to the conference, had the Bureau of Indian Affairs charged with the responsibility of the role. The Senate bill had the Bureau of Indian Affairs charged with a very preliminary role, a very rapid head count within 6 months, but the Native Commission was going to do the role. So it was one of these situations until the final bill rolled out, we really didn't know whether we were going to do the role, we didn't know whether the Commission was going to do the role, or whether we were going to do it. We have submitted, I have people here from Washington, we have submitted a supplemental appropriation requesting approximately $1.8 million to help us kick the role off and to do some other things that I'll point out a little later on. Our current plan, as far as the role is concerned, number one, we have to draw up now the regulations for the role, which says what do you have to do to be eligible for the role, and we have to develop a management system. We have to hire people. We have to contract, and we're hopeful of contracting with Native organizations, with regional organizations, with villages, with people to help us do the role. We have to now develop the criteria for the role. I have some people here from Washington. I have my staff here from Juneau. I have the superintendents all in here. We're going to be meeting later on this afternoon and probably tomorrow to start the processes going so we can come up with the criteria for the role. I assure you that as soon as that we have this developed in a very preliminary stage. This will be again mailed back to the regions. We'll invite comments from your attorneys. We invite comments from you on our plans. I might add that under legislative, we're required by Congress to complete the role within 2 years, which professionals tell me in the business that that's virtually impossible to count all the Alaska Natives who are entitled throughout the world, throughout the nation in Alaska. That's virtually impossible to do. Well, I think that's a tremendous challenge, and we're going to make one heck of a run at it. And I think we're going to be successful because we're just going to do it. What happens, though, and what we're going to need from you is maximum cooperation. We're going to have to work very closely together, and I hate to use that word, work very closely together. It appears that everybody stands up here and says we've got to work very closely together. Where I'm going to take an approach that we're going to do it, we're going to get it done, but we're going to do it with your support. Doing it in 2 years, as I indicated, is a very short period of time. We're going to charge down that road and we're going to get it done. There are certain things that have to take place prior to some of the further actions happening, and we certainly in the Bureau, while I'm here, don't want to hold up any actions that will any benefits that will accrue to the Native claims recipients because of the role. As soon as we develop the criteria, I'm hopeful of getting out as much publicity on it as humanly possible. Where we requested some public information types to come up here just to talk about the role, to get discussions going in the village, to get discussions going in the region about what one has to do to enroll, what one must do to enroll, so we get this thing done in 2 years and get on with the show. As I indicated again, I want to stress the point, we're developing the criteria. We've already submitted a supplemental to Washington, our Washington office. It's cleared the office now before the Office of Management and Budget. Then it goes to Congress, and hopefully we'll get funded. We're not going to wait for that, however. We're going to start assembling a staff. We're going to start assembling some people right now to get the thing done. Mr. Bassett from Bureau of Land Management mentioned some other programs that we felt would be supportive to the regional organizations and possibly thought that the Bureau could play a supportive role in the post-settlement era to the regionals. And here again, we have submitted a proposal to Washington, D.C. for some funding. Prior to that proposal going to Washington, we had many consultations with various Native organizations, with various Native individuals. Prior to sending it to Washington, D.C., a copy went to every regional organization in the state. Basically, it was a four-point program that we thought that would be helpful to the regional corporations, and I'd like to outline it. I might add and might caution that it's not funded yet. It, too, is awaiting final approval. But it's basically a four-point program, as I indicated. The first program would be what I've termed a public information dissemination program, for lack of a better word. The entire purpose of that program is to try to get a better understanding of the contents of this piece of legislation. Now, I've had the privilege of traveling to most of the rural areas, and I think it's safe to say that our Native people in the villages have a very, very vague understanding of the bill. They have a very vague understanding of its contents. They have a very vague understanding of what it means to them as an individual, what it means to their community, what it means to their region. And I think this is an area that the Bureau could be of some assistance in. We're hopeful there of getting out a booklet on the Native claims, on the contents of the legislation. We're hopeful of putting together possibly a movie on it, as we've done in our bilingual film. We're hopeful of utilizing Native people to travel to many of our villages to explain the contents on a one-to-one basis with the village councils, with the village people. We're hopeful of utilizing, again, Native people to on a regional radio program to discuss the contents of the legislation. In other words, our effort there is just to discuss the Native Claims Bill, discuss its contents, discuss what it means to villages, to people, to regions, to the state, so that the people that will be eventually recipients of this bill will have a good understanding of it. The second portion of the program, or of the funding I'm requesting, is some grant monies to regional corporations to assist them in the early stages of development. This we see as providing monies to them so they can get training, if you would, in economy, economics, they can get training in business management, get training in land use planning, this type of thing. It's optional. I don't know if we'll get the money. Any region that, if we get it, we're not going to require any region to accept it or require it. We're not going to put a minimum of strings on it so that it gets out to the regions and lets you get started in gearing up for the management that will be required in the post-settlement era. The third and final aspect of the proposal we've submitted to Washington is some monies we've requested to pass out, if you would. I should contract out to certain people to assist the reserves and reservations that exist in the state help them develop what I've called baseline data about their reserves and reservations, what benefits they have with the reserve and reservation as it is, what benefits could possibly accrue to them if they select to go under the bill. As you know, the reserves and reservations have a choice. They either accept the reserve and fee, or they become recipients of the bill. Now, to many of these reserves, that's a very monumental decision. I think it's a tremendous weight on those village leaders that are leading these reserves and reservations. We're going to try to help them develop the information, and I quote here, not to make the decision, but help them get the information available to them so they can make the decision. We want to develop that information and not participate at all in the decision process, because certainly that's their responsibility. Fourthly, we've requested a meeting with AFN, have AFN or some of the regionals coordinate a meeting between all state, federal, and Native organizations that have legislative responsibility in the bill to sit down and discuss how we can work together to get the information that's required out to the villages to help us do our job in a most fast and efficient manner, to discuss things with, for example, with BLM. How can we assist BLM? How can BLM assist the regions? How can the regions assist us in the role? This meeting, hopefully, I've talked to some of the AFN people here, will take place the second week in January. I think we have a terrific responsibility. It's an exciting time. We look forward to working with you in developing the criteria for the enrollment. We're hopeful we'll have that out very soon, because when the president signed the bill, the 2 years started ticking off. In other words, we just lost a day today. We're going to lose one tomorrow, maybe, but maybe the next day we're going to be on the road and start developing the criteria. As soon as I have it developed, I assure you that it will be given to the president, to the regional Native organizations, to their attorneys. And I thank you and best wishes.
Mr. Wallace.
Basically, what I want to know is that you go on about this board meeting. What's this board meeting the second week?
Maury?
Yes.
What's the board meeting again on the second week in January?
Yes. Tim, to answer your question, if I may, we've requested a meeting with AFN quite some time ago to sit down with all of the federal and state agencies that have legislative responsibilities. Example for us, we want to sit down with AFN and the regions and BLM and discuss how we're going to do the role, how we're going to meet the obligations we have charged to us by Congress. The purpose of the meeting is just to get everybody involved in the room, in one room, to sit down and say, here's how we're going to do the things that we have to do, and here's our plan, and here's our time period we're going to do it in.